Okay, we are live from Crane Christian Church Sunday School. And another beautiful day in the Ozarks, kind of. A little muggy, may rain, I don't know. But that's good for some and not so good for others. So, how many of you guys believe that looking at what's going on around us could be discouraging? And there are people who are focused on the international scene. And when you look at the international scene, is there a lot, if you're looking for something to worry about, could you find something on the international scene to worry about? Okay. A lot of people look at the national scene. Okay. If you looked at the national scene, do you think you could figure out, if you really tried, something to worry about? Okay. A lot of people look at the regional scene. And in our region, there are things to worry about. If you want to worry about something, I can talk to you afterwards if you're running out of stuff to worry about. And then some people don't care what happens outside of there. Then they look at the people that surround them. The people that surround us, there are people this morning that are going through grief. They're going through all kinds of stuff in our church and our family, extended families. There's stuff going on everywhere. So there could be really something to worry about, couldn't there be? Does everybody agree with me? So we're going to take a minute and just give up and walk off? Is that what y'all want to do? No. You know why? Because you cannot win a race that you stop running. And I listened to a preacher this week. It happened to be me to make sure I didn't say anything I needed to retract. I listen to my sermons every week just to make sure there's something I need to tweak that next week. Anyway. So here's the deal, guys, and in light of that, I've been studying, not because of that, but at the same time, I've been studying the New Testament church, which you are a part of, the New Covenant church. And that's what we're going to be talking about in about an hour from now, an hour and 15, 20 minutes. And I'm pretty stirred up over it this morning. But anyway, we'll see how long that goes. But the point, it might be a part 2, 3, 6, 8, 10, you know, kind of like Matthew, it lasts forever. But the point being is this, guys. As I looked at that, as the New Testament church, everything was, not going well. Okay, everything, the government was against them. Okay, the other religious people around them were against them. Okay, and do you know what they chose to do? We're going to just hit this real quick. Number one, they chose to stick together. Met together, some of them daily. They chose to read and practice and proclaim the words of the Master, Jesus Christ. And that's not a legalism thing. That's not like No, we're talking about walking a walk that what Jesus said to do. Instead of worrying about, remember, we've been through this, those of you who have been with me in Matthew. I mean, he said, don't worry. Several times. He said, fear not in the whole Bible 365 times. That actually, somebody brought that up last week. 365 times in the Bible, it either says, don't fear, don't fret, you know, whatever. So here's the deal. They chose to stick together. Okay, that's number one. But number two, they chose to get together and then proclaim his word. And as I was praying about that, as I was spending time with the Lord about that, unfortunately, I think the American New Testament church has become more personality driven versus more word driven. Okay. And I'm not talking about this legalistic thing. Well, you know, what's wrong with men got long hair or short pants or long something or short something else. Right. I'm not talking about that. That's culture. Okay. And my culture is different than your culture. My culture in a lot of ways is different than my wife and her mother's culture. I was raised 350 miles south and, you know, birthdays for us is, we may get the right amount of candles on a cake, you know. But the point being is this. What's this? Okay. They both taught the word. They lived the word. but then they even sang the word. And when Paul's telling them to get together, he says, hey, bring a song. When you guys get together, bring a song. And did you know the focus of the church, I've said this like three times in the last 3 months, the focus of the church for the first 500 years was the Eucharist, was the meal, was celebrating the fact that, yeah, I don't have it straight, but guess what? God does, and he paid the price for me, and we're going to celebrate it right here. Because guess what? The Passover has come, and the death angel has passed. Because his blood is on my door. And some of you are going, what? Yeah. Listen, everybody in the house lived. The people that were jealous, irritated, might not have voted right in the last, I don't think they had elections. Okay, whatever. Okay. So let's start out with the word this morning. Would you agree that there's plenty to worry about, but when we put our faith and confidence in God, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. Okay? And a sister of mine I was talking to on the phone brought that to my mind last night, and part of this is your fault. So, okay. So you can say you're welcome. 6 weeks from now when I'm still talking, you can say you're welcome. Okay. So we need the word, and then we need a second W. You ready? Wisdom. And we've been in Psalms for months. Let's go to Proverbs, one book over. And Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring disciplined and a prudent life, doing what is right, just, and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, guilty, because I like things simple, okay? Knowledge and discretion to the young, let wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the saying of riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Okay, everybody, let's stop right there a minute. If there's nobody in charge, people run amok. Do you get that? If there's, and here's the deal, and I'm not talking about the whip beating, the demeaning, the control. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Air Force three times, lent me to the Army. And I'd go to a school. Part of it was a school, part of it was, anyway, we'll get into that. But the point being is this. So one school that I went to was a basic land nav, okay? And I want to tell you something. I've hunted all my life. I've not hunted much lately, okay, to be honest with you. But like I started when I was like, I'd get like 4.22 shells and my little rifle and go out there. And the first squirrel I killed was probably 100 yards from the house, okay? I mean, I was always hunting, and we won't get into the BB guns and the neighbors' starlings and all that. But the point being is this. Here's the deal, okay? In that course, they taught me first that you had to have a map. And see, for places I hunted, this is not a joke. I knew where I was at. If I kept walking this way, I'd come out of on the highway and just walk back. If I got turned around, I just listen to see where the cars are at. I go, you know what I mean? And if I walked far enough that way, I'd run into the creek, and I could follow the creek to the highway and then get up on the bridge. I mean, I was never lost. I knew where I was at, okay? But when you drop down in the middle of Georgia or in the middle of Texas, I never done it there, okay? But this is real story. I mean, we're in woods at Fort Benning, Georgia, and it's like, I don't know where the creeks are, I don't know, but that, guess what they had? They had a map and a guy that taught us how to read it. And what we would do is we'd take that map And guess what? Take the compass and find north, line that thing up, and we would essentially know, it's not GPS, you know, but you could find where you needed to go to get to where you wanted to get. Does that make sense? This is where we came in the woods back here, we find it, and then, guess what? We had one guy who could count, evidently, and they counted steps. One guy was always counting how far we were going. In other words, accountability. And so, here's the deal. The Word of God is that map, okay? And it's alive. It is Spirit-filled, okay? And listen, if you get to reading the Bible at 4 a.m. and you see something in there about baptism for the dead or something, please don't call me, okay? It's a big book, and there's a lot of things in it, you know. Was Ezekiel, when he saw the wheel, was that a UFO? Was that a this? No, I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. You can ask the Lord when you get there, okay? I don't know what that was, okay? And none of that's going to save you or damn you, okay? What saves you is knowing the author of the book, okay? But if you want to have a good life, then we need to know the book, okay? Basics, instructions before leaving Earth. Bible, B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. I'm standing on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, for $19.95. You can have that deep. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. That's a joke. All right. But here's the deal. You also have to look at the Bible and the wisdom in the Bible in the light of the purpose of the Bible. So let's say, and I'm taking this out of context, on purpose, okay? Let's say that I'm lost. I'm like somewhere. And I think, well, what I need is a book. I'll look in the book and find out where I'm at. And I get the Sears and Roebuck catalog. And I get to looking at the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and I see this, and I see that, and I see that. Before long, I'm sitting on the side of the road saying, I'm never going to find my way out, right?
That's true.
Okay. So if you're looking for the answer for the dinosaur problem, praise God, they found a bone that's got a, you know, and one guy's got a monkey. There's a man with a tail. I'm looking for that. That's not what the Bible's for. Okay. What you need to do is look for what it is the story of God's redemption of mankind. Does that make sense? Because guess what? Adam and Eve or Bruce and Kim, I won't use none of y'all. Okay, I was tempted for a minute. Because I think I'd have lasted longer than some of y'all. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, but the point is they broke the commandment. They only had one rule. And then it changed everything, right? And then God began to create, he created a covenant with a man, and we're going to get into that next service. And as that covenant with Abraham came, that was the old covenant, and then came into the new covenant, okay? And this is a big book, but that's the story of this book. You got an old covenant, which is the Old Testament. You got a new covenant, which is the New Testament. Okay, and it all points toward Jesus. Okay, so then you got that compass to tell you where you're at, and the compass is the Holy Spirit. As you go through this, pray. Say, God, I want what you want me to get out of this for today, because you're not going to get it all in one day. You're not going to get it all in one week. You're not going to get it all in a lifetime. Okay, just you're going to get what you need. Remember manna, okay? You don't remember what manna means, right? What is it? When it fell out of the ground, they go, what is it? Or fell out of the sky, what is it? Okay, that's what manna means, okay? And if you tried to keep manna 2 or 3 days, it would rot and the worms would get in it. And don't be trying to, and listen, God will bring to remembrance the Word of God when you study it, and you know. And but I'm just saying, you need manna every day. You need the Word of God every day, okay? And not as a legalist, just like, I mean, sometimes I skip breakfast. Sometimes I'm too busy to eat lunch. I get a handful of something and just keep going, okay? But at some point during that day, I'm gonna have to eat something, okay? Because it'll affect me, okay? So this Proverbs is for wisdom and discipline, okay? And remember what the middle, the word that discipline comes from is disciple, okay? And then a disciple is one who walks in obedience, and the middle three letters in obedience is die. And sometimes that's not fun. There are some things in my life I just had to let die. Just die to. But I'm much better for it, and the kingdom of God is much better for it. So, warning against enticement. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland and a grace to your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Now, guys, I want to tell you, when I read this, when I look at this, I always think about two things. I did a long, detailed, month-long study on cults. The reason I did that was because I needed to. I was living in a place that was actually had some things going on. I got to be careful, okay? Occultic activity. Then there were things going on in different Christian type organizations that were not biblical. There's all this, and what happens is, if you're not careful, you get a strong leader, okay? People start following that leader, and with usually it's guys, and it's always either, thank you for being my accountability. But the point being is, it turns into something stupid, okay? And you can watch it on Netflix if you want to, all right, whatever. But what happens is power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts completely, okay? But what happens very quickly is people start using the Word of God. So we've used it to control people as far as money. We've done it to scare people into looking like we look, which is scary for some of us. But we've come up with, and I will never forget, I was studying some of Paul's teaching years ago and trying to get my head wrapped around this, because if you think as much as I do, sometimes you need to put some outside sources, you know, put a little lubrication in there. But anyway, but the point is, I was thinking about all this, and Paul says it at one point something like this, and I didn't look it up for this morning, okay? But he says something like this. He says, you know, what it says, you know, you've got these people who are saying, don't eat this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And it really serves no purpose except to build pride in yourself. Because, you know, I'm better than you because I don't eat fried chicken. Praise God. I'm the church against fried chicken church. Yes. For 1995, I can tell you about the dangers of the chicken. The chicken's taking over the country. Right? No, really. Okay, and I use that to be funny, kind of, but is it really that funny? Because they're probably not picking on the poor chicken, because, you know, chickens have taught me how to walk. But anyway, wrong thing, okay. But the point being is this. Let's go, and it says, don't forget what your parents said, don't forget your mom and dad, but listen, this is, you have to choose for your generation. You have to choose for you. You have to let God speak to you. And I'm not saying turn around and go the opposite direction. What I'm saying is, know that God had one thing for Abraham, one thing for Isaac, one thing for Jacob. How would you like to have been the parents of Samson? I was going down the road the other day on my bike, and I'm riding along, and I'm going, How would you like to have been the dad and mom for Samson? What has that boy done now? Now he's done got. No, I'm telling you. He set the tail, fox's tail on fire. You know, I mean, and he took the gates right out of the city. You know, and he won't cut his hair. Anyway, no, whatever. But the point being is, Samson was a train wreck. We know that. Read it. It's a great story. It makes me weep every time. I weep every time I read Samson. It's kind of like Jonah. I read it about four times a year, but just for my personal edification. Because me and Jonah, we're not brothers, but we could be cousins. Okay? We're kin to one another. Okay? How's that? So anyway, but the point being is this, guys. Realize that God has a plan for your life. It may not be exactly what it was for your parents. Your theology may change a little bit. As long as Jesus is the focus and purpose, and that's what saves us, okay? I was talking to a little girl the other night. I was buying something at a store, and of course, you know, I'm an old man. I talk to everybody. But the point being is we started talking about church, and I kind of described our church, and I said, you know, we got people from that was raised in the Catholic church, we got people who's raised in the Pentecostal church, we got people who's raised in the Christian church, we got people who's raised in the Baptist church, and we've decided to all come together and love one another and go to church and serve Jesus. And this look came on her face, and it was like, wow. And for people not raised in church, they don't do that. For people that was raised in church, they go, wow. Who's the referee? You know, we've never needed a referee here during service, maybe afterwards. Okay, but anyway. But anyway, you've got to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling before the Lord, and that's not anything weird. Okay? So, my son, verse 10, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those that go down to the pit. We'll get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse. And guys, I want to tell you something. Be very careful who you make covenant with. And there are all kinds of covenants. Of course, there's legal covenants, which is you know, marriage and contracts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But here's the deal. Are they delivering my new bike out there? Can you see what's going on? There's a huge truck out there. Oh, it's got, I think it's from the Dallas Cowboys. That's Toby. Is that his dump truck? Yes, that's nice. I don't know what he's doing. I was joking about the new motorcycle. I speak it in faith, praise God. No, anyway. So, here's the deal. I'm not easily distracted, don't worry about that. So, be very careful who you make agreements with. And it can be a casual agreement. I can't tell you how many times somebody has said, hey, we're going to go do this, we're going to go do that. And I have thought, that'd be fun. And then I would think, why do I feel funny about that? And I don't mean ha-ha. I mean a check in my spirit, which is maybe more of an X. A check probably would mean, you know, I didn't get many checks in high school. That meant you got it right. But anyway, the point being is this, guys. Watch who you get in agreement with, who you're walking with, who you're saying. And I've told this story before many years ago. Now we're talking about 40 years ago, probably. I was in a situation, and my intent was good. And I mean that. And I'd tell you if it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't pure, because nothing I've ever done has been pure. Okay? I mean, 100, you know. But in my heart, my intent was to tell people about Jesus. It really was. And it was in the early years of some things I do with motorcycles. And so I found myself hanging with these guys. And after a while, I began to act more like they acted than I wanted them to act. Does that make sense? And I caught myself and I thought, that's not why I'm here. The salt's getting wet. The light's getting under the bushel. Does that make sense? And I'm not talking about perfectionism. I'm not talking about any, it's my heart that I'm talking about. And I saw, and I started reading and studying and thinking, and you know what it says? It always says go two by two. Mm-hmm. And you know what the reason it says go two by two? And I didn't have a two. I didn't have a number two to be with me at that place. And it's accountability. It's safety. It's another set of eyes. Like we say, hey, you know, when you're clearing a building, you don't want to be by yourself. You want another set of eyes. You want somebody watching your back. You want somebody, you know. And it was another set of eyes. And I didn't have another set of eyes. But the good news is the Holy Spirit hadn't gone to sleep. And he became my saint. And so, and I didn't stop what I was doing. What I did was I did this. I backed up a little bit. You know, instead of being immersed, I was doing this and talking and loving and, you know, and help. And anyway, but here's the deal, guys. We're all just people. So be careful who you make agreements with. Be careful who you get into covenant with. So let's look down, just jump down to 20, okay? Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. The gateways of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and gave no heed when I stretched out my hand, thus you will walk. Oh, sorry. Got two pages here. Since you ignored my advice and would not accept my rebuke, and I will turn and laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelms you. Now, this is not God talking. This is what's happening is, essentially, I can boil this down for you in one sentence. You reap what you sow. How many of y'all know that? And the wonderful news is, oh, listen, I thought about this week again. I am reaping fruit of seeds my grandmother planted. I want you to think about that. Of raising my mom. And then I'm reaping seeds that my mom prayers. I was in a prayer meeting, not this last week, but the week before, and a guy was talking about the bowl with the prayers of the saints, and he was talking about how God, he hears every prayer we pray. Every prayer we pray. It's in heaven. Every prayer you prayed, it doesn't fall to the ground. Every cry of your heart has been recorded. It's there. Because we always think about, yeah, they're going to show that video of you when you get to heaven. No, listen, every prayer, every time you cried out to God, said, I don't know what to do. Help me, God. That's recorded. It's all there. But now watch this. Here's the deal. Literally, as we look at this, as we say, you know, I have people in my life that I love dearly, and they have done unwise things. Okay? Does anybody know anybody that's done anything? We're not talking about anybody in this building. Okay? We're talking about them guys. Okay? But I have people that I love dearly that have made unwise choices Okay, watch this. With their body. They've either chemically, either food, or workaholism, just plug in something. Plug what in, whatever you want, okay? Or laying on the couch and eating tater chips, you know, whatever, okay? But the point is, living in a van down by the river, getting a full diet of government cheese, okay? Because they don't, you can find that, anyway. But here's the deal, guys. They've made those choices, and their body now is bearing the fruit. Are you watching me? Okay. I have people who have in my life who I love dearly, and they have planted seeds in their mind, okay? Not their body, their mind. Just like if I read a Dick Tracy comic book, okay, that's my mind doing that, okay? And their seeds, okay, and don't, Dick Tracy's fine, you know, he's had a watch you can talk in, and so do some of y'all, okay, so you weirdos. Anyway, but the point being is this, that's your mind, and what they've done is they have allowed their mind to be infiltrated by the ways of this world, and guess what's happening? As they're drawn aside by their own lusts, and then what it happens is then they have mind problems. So you can have body problems, right? Mind problems. And then some of us have starved the spirit to death. Our spirit is still an infant, and we're just barely getting a little milk every once in a while, okay, and keeping it alive. But I want to tell you that you have three things going on here, the mind, the body, and the spirit. And when you plant seeds in any of those areas, there's fruit that comes to that. Does that make sense? Okay. So, and, you know, I have people in my life that they have this thing they call Eastern medicine and Western medicine and mind thought and all that. And the Western mind thought is, well, you know, we'll just give you a pill for that. Okay. The Eastern mindset usually is, why don't you get up off the couch and start walking a mile a day and see what happens next, then we'll look at a pill. You see what I'm saying? So I'm all about, you know, trying to get what works. So the bottom line is this wisdom is, if you're not careful, it will send you down the path of death if you reject it, and it'll send you down the path of life if you accept it. And here's the deal. I'm not talking about legalism, okay? So get that clear, that it's not about legalism. Okay, we got about three more minutes, okay? So, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commandments, we're at chapter 2, okay? My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you search for it as silver, search for it as hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. From his mouth. That's the word of God. His mouth. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Now, guys, all wisdom, not just information, but all wisdom comes from God, okay? And here's the deal. If you read enough, if you study enough, if you listen enough, what will end up happening is you'll hear it over here. God will be telling you some teacher you've never heard of will be talking about it over here. Then somebody here will be talking about it. Somebody here will be talking about it. And all of a sudden, that might be, if you're a detective, that might be a clue. God's trying to tell you something. I can't tell you how many times, literally, guys, I was sitting in my office years ago, when I was chief of police at Nixa, sitting in my office, just crying out to God, just, Lord, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about this? And a person I did not know, who did not know me, did not know my family, one of those things after 9/11, somebody wanted to bring somebody something. They probably brought some pie or something. And I went out there to thank them or whatever. And they said, oh, you know, I got something in my car for you. And they walked out there, opened their car, and evidently they had ordered a bunch of coffee cups. Okay, not that I'd ever drink coffee, you know. But anyway, in this temple. But the point being is, literally, on that coffee cup was the scripture that God had been telling me for 3 days. And I'm like, well, if I was a detective, that would be a clue. And yeah, pay attention. And God will do that. But you have to open the eyes of your heart. And you know, that, I love what Max Lucado says. I don't know if you've read any of his stuff, but this is very old, and I'll close on this. But Max Lucado was working in the oil fields. He's like 17 years old. He's out there driving between oil wells or whatever, and he's listening to some TV or radio preacher, okay? And he's listening to him, and he's listening, and this guy is talking, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit takes those words and grabs his heart, and he comes to Jesus. And I love it because I've seen him speak several times, and when he tells it, it's staggering because he looks out across the audience and he says, I don't know if he was a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, because Max Lucado was Church of Christ, Christian Church, Catholic, Protestant, I don't know, and I don't care, because what he brought me was the word of life, and it brought him to Jesus. And I want to tell you something, God's God, and he knows what he's doing. So Father, we thank you so much, Lord, because we're so glad you know what is going on, because Lord, you told us, Lord, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, which is your law. And Lord, as we walk, I just want to walk close enough to you, Lord, that the dust from your sandals, Lord, gets on me. I want to keep you in sight, God. I don't want to go my own way and wander here, and because Lord, it's miserable. It's a miserable life, God. So, Lord, give us wisdom as we read this, as we study this together, Lord. Let us make covenant with those, Lord, who you've called us to make covenant with, and avoid those, Lord, you've called us to stay away from, Lord. And, Lord, let us be the men and women you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Next live stream is in about 11:40. So God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on you and give you peace. Have a great day.